thanks very much, Julie, because I know Julie, whenever I asked her this morning, one of these weeks, I just said, Julie, you come in tonight? She says, I am. I said, that's good, because you can do the community prayer. Cheerio now. And get out the door as quickly as possible. It's just been a bundle of nerves, but it was wonderful, and thank you, Julie. Thank you. I've been moving the microphone a wee bit away from my mouth tonight, which obviously is a clue that there might be a bit of shouting and screaming going on here. I'm just going to pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your living and active word. And as we heard this morning, Lord, your word never returns to you void, Lord God, but it fulfills the purpose for which it is sent. And so tonight, we pray that your word tonight would fulfill its purpose, please, in Jesus' name. That you would help us all to hear what you're saying to us, Lord, that we might take it on board and apply it, Father, with your help. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As Dave said, we're looking at the seven I am statements which Jesus made. And so far we've covered, I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world. And all seven statements are so powerful. If you get a chance to get a sneak preview, go into John's Gospel and read them. All seven statements in their context are so powerful that only he who truly is I am, Yahweh, the Lord, could make them. And the statement that I'm speaking about this evening is found in John chapter 10, if you want to turn to that. I want to put it into its context first, before we read the passage. On one particular Sabbath, Jesus had miraculously given sight to a man who had been blind from birth. And there's a lot of discussion around this particular miracle and another particular miracle of Jesus about blindness. In this case, it would seem that this man wasn't just born blind. This man was born with no eyes. That seems to be the suggestion here. And so on a Sabbath, Jesus had miraculously given sight to a man blind from birth. And of course the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they had heard all about this and they had questioned the man. They had called him in and questioned him and his parents about what they called this alleged miracle. But they refused to believe what had happened. They even questioned if the man had ever been blind at all. And because he challenged them about their ignorance and their unbelief, the religious leaders cast the man from their presence. Now, we read over that. What that means in our terminology is the word anathema. He is utterly cursed. He is completely excommunicated from the synagogue for daring to challenge these people about their ignorance and their unbelief. And of course, when Jesus heard this, he went and found a man whom he had given sight to and asked him a simple question. Do you believe in the Son of God? The man said to Jesus, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus replied, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And the man responded, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped Jesus. That's the context of what we're about to read in John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus speaking says this, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If
if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the video at the start of the service, it was taken from the computer animated film Frozen. We heard Anna and her newfound lover sing, "Love is an open door." However, as the film unfolds, Hans's love for Anna is proved untrue. In the end, Anna sacrifices herself to protect her older sister Elsa. But Anna's selfless act of true love breaks the ice spell and frees the kingdom of Arendelle from the eternal winter. A selfless act of true love breaks the spell and frees the kingdom. And so tonight, I want to tell you about another selfless act of true love that's not a Disney animated fantasy film. This selfless act of true love broke the curse of sin and opened the door for people everywhere to flee from the kingdom of darkness, of slavery and death, to enter into God's kingdom of light and of life and of love. You know, as you've heard many times, I came here to this wee hall and attended Sunday school almost on a weekly basis, and so did Billy. And did anybody else come to this? And Linda as well. And I've been saying to Billy since Wednesday night, we were going to do a wee test tonight about Sunday school. Because if you remember, Billy, when we came here and you get in through the doors, we'd start by everybody taking our seats, and we'd start by singing a few songs, and then it would break up into all the wee individual classes. And among many songs we sang, there was one based on John chapter 10. And here it is. Can you remember it, Billy or Linda? If you say yes, you have to stand up and sing it.
Remember the words, can't remember the tune. Does that make sense?
1, 2, 3, 4. I am the door, by me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved, they shall be saved. I am the door.
Now we're going to do it again, but what I used to laugh is when you got to that last, I am the door, I used to laugh because my uncle Bill Cowie, was one of the Sunday school teachers, and he guldered with the most loud Scottish Highland voice, "I am the door," and that's the vivid memory that I have. But let's just try it again. Now think about what you're singing. 1, 2, 3, 4. I am the door, by me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved, they shall be saved. I am the door. Isn't that amazing? You see, what amazes me is almost 50 years later, and I can remember that simple song. And this is a very simplistic way of teaching biblical truth. And it is really, really effective when you look at it. There's nothing complicated about this. I remember during my days, I've said this before, working in 6A High Street, we used a simple way of teaching. And it was the same, based on the same as the Sunday school. If you go down to the next slide, Pete, look at this. Simple numbers. It's a Sunday school. Do you remember, Linda? Go ahead, stand up and sing it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Are you on your way to heaven? 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jesus said, my children, come. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All men must be born again. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Only Jesus is the door.
I mean, it's not complicated. And yet it's effective. And we in 6A High Street, 5 days a week, when we were providing free lunches for people who would come in from all over the place, they would come in and sit, and we would have what we would call our wee 5 minute spot where we preached the gospel in a very simplistic way. But always before we began, we sang the next simple song. Now, we've done it here a few times, and For He Died to Set Me Free. And we had this for a number of weeks written out on an A4 piece of paper. And it was there, and everybody coming in would sing it 5 days a week. We would sing this song. For he died to set me free, Jesus ransomed me, he lifted me up from all of my sins, and he put his life within, set my spirit free, that I might glorify my God and my King. Now we'll try and do it this time like as if you actually mean this, right? For he died to set me free, Jesus ransomed me, he lifted me up from all of my sins, and he put his life within, set my spirit free, that I might glorify my God and my King. See, within a short period of time, every alcoholic and drug addict in Bangor and every other person who came in from the bedsit lands into 6A High Street in Bangor were able to walk out of that building singing, For he died to set me free. And it was instilling a simple biblical truth into the hearts of people, just using a simple song. And so in the film Frozen, the creators wanted to demonstrate in a simple way how love conquers all. And in a very simplistic way, Jesus wanted to present to his listeners how they could enter the kingdom of God. There was nothing complicated about it. Like sheep needing to enter the sheepfold by the gate where they could find rest and safety, so people need to enter God's kingdom by the door and find rest and safety. And so Jesus said to them, I am the door. It's that simple. If anyone wants to enter the kingdom of God, they must do so through Jesus. Because he alone is the door. He is the way to God and into God's kingdom. It can't be made any simpler than that. I'll say it again. If anyone wants to flee from the kingdom of darkness, of slavery to sin and death, and enter into God's kingdom of light and of life and of love, then you must enter through the door, which is Jesus. As Dave said last week, this world, and Julie mentioned in her prayer, this world is a dark, dark place. It's full of misery and sin, and it's quickly coming to an end. Those that remain here in this world of darkness and sin are doomed to destruction and eternal separation from God. But God, who loves the world, sent his son Jesus into the world to die to save those who would believe, who would trust in him. The only way of escape from this kingdom of darkness, of sin and death and its eternal consequences, is to enter into God's kingdom. And the only way to do that is to enter through the door, which is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. In a selfless act of true love, Jesus came into this dark world of sin and death and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin. He died on the cross to open the way back to God so that sinners, sheep that had gone astray, could repent, turn around, and turn back to God. Because of his selfless act of true love for us, the curse of sin and death is broken. And people everywhere can freely enter into God's kingdom. However, just like the blind man thrown out of the presence of the religious leaders, if you decide to take a stand for Jesus, you too might be ostracized and cast out of the company of family or friends. But remember, family or friends cannot save you from this kingdom of darkness and sin and its consequences. Only Jesus can save you. So let me ask you the question that Jesus asked to the man whom he had given sight to. Let me ask you, and I know people in here tonight are Christians, but I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked the man to whom he had given sight. Do you believe in the Son of God? Now, by believe, I mean, do you trust him to completely save you? You see, those who can answer yes, no, they already know that they have entered into God's kingdom and have become his children. They have entered through the door, which is Jesus. Those who answer no, when I ask, do you believe in the Son of God? Those who answer no, or not yet, have not yet escaped from the kingdom of darkness. They have not yet entered through the door into God's kingdom to find rest and safety. Others may answer, who is the Son of God, so that I may believe? Well, I'll tell you, he is Jesus, God's Son, and he alone is the door into God's kingdom. There is no other way. Anna and Hans sang the song, "Love is an open door." And tonight, this word is true to all who hear what I'm saying. The love of Jesus is an open door, open to receive all who will enter through it. But I must warn you, there is a day fixed when this open door for salvation will be closed forever. And then it will be too late. I urge you tonight, do not gamble with your soul. Repent, turn around, and turn back to God. Come to God through Jesus, who is the door of hope, the only door into God's kingdom. And when you come to God through Jesus, his door is always open to you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Come to God tonight, and like Anna and Hans sang, you too can sing, say goodbye to the pain of the past. We don't have to feel it anymore. Love is an open door. Love is an open door. Life can be so much more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you that he is the door of hope tonight for all who will believe. For those of us who know him and love him, we testify to the fact that he is the door by which we have entered into your kingdom and we have become your children. And you will take care of us all of the days of our lives here on this earth until you call us to be forever in your eternal presence. Lord, thank you that the door of hope is open still. And we pray tonight, Lord God, for anyone who may be listening to this message. Anyone, Lord God, who cannot say that they believe, that they completely trust in Jesus, the Son of God. We pray that they would realize that the door of hope is open for them now. But Lord, warn them also that there is a day fixed when that door will be closed forever. May no one tonight gamble with their soul. But may people come tonight to you, Father, through Jesus, who said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved. We ask you, Father, please tonight, to accept our praise and our thanks for Jesus, for sending him into this world to open the way back to you, that whosoever will can be saved. We praise you and we worship you and we give you thanks that tonight, right now, love is an open door.